All who came before me are thieves and robbers. A thief comes only to steal and to slaughter and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The gospel today, what it's all about, the gospel is about the Good Shepherd. We've talked about it in Spanish so far, but now in English. It's about the Good Shepherd. And do you remember, it's been a little bit, but do you remember what that last line of the gospel is? Last line there. It's in your books before you. You should already have them out. What's that last line? Nadie recuerde. Huh? I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly life. And think about it. That's the key of the gospel. Jesus is talking, and before that he says, all those others who came before me, he's speaking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the religious rulers. He's talking about their politicians. He's talking about their rulers. All of these ones who are trying to be in the place of the Good Shepherd, but weren't living it out. They came to steal, to kill, or to annihilate, and to destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. See, most of the time when people think about Jesus, when they think about their faith, when they think about coming back to the Eucharist, they don't think about Jesus that way. They think about Jesus as one who wants to destroy them for their sins. They think that when they come in here and they put their hand in that holy water, it's going to start bubbling over and the whole of the church is going to collapse upon them. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? Jesus says the exact opposite. He says, I have come so that when you come, you may have life. And not just a regular life, not just an average life, not just a life of getting by. He says, I want you to have abundant life. Which means that you're going to have life coming out the wazoo. That life is going to be everywhere in your life. Full life, an active, joy-filled life. More life than you yourself know what to do with. That it oozes out onto others even as you pass them by. This is the sign of a Christian. This is a sign of somebody who's actually living out their Catholic faith, who knows God, who loves God. You see, the sheep of the Good Shepherd of Jesus are those who are more alive than anybody else is in the whole world. You see, because if they're more dead than anybody else, if they're only worried about their own personal sinfulness and focused on that, if they're only focused on themselves, if they're ones who are always complaining and stealing life from other people, I don't care how often they come to Mass or how many hours they spend on their knees or how many rosaries they can quickly rattle off. They're not sheep of Jesus. They're not a part of his pasture if they're not living out abundant life. That's the sign of somebody who is actually Christian and on the way to salvation. If that's not in your life, then you're not actually a member of his flock but have gone astray. So the first thing that we need to look at, brothers and sisters, is to ask ourselves, am I personally a man or am I a woman of life? Do I have abundant life, more life than anybody else? Or am I just sort of getting by? Am I just sort of making it to the end of the day, putting in my time, punching my card? That's not abundant life. It's true, sometimes we get depressed, and I get depressed too. I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about today. If that's the situation, if it's a biological thing, we got to get professional help for it. But you see, the real reason, more often than not, we don't have the life which Jesus wants to give us, if we're not living it out, is because we're not focused on Jesus. We're focused on all the wrong things. We're focused upon ourselves or upon our sinfulness. We're focused on that one bad thing that has come up in our lives that's thrown us off, or maybe that downward trend that seems to be going further and further. We're focused on what other people are saying about us and gossips, instead of being focused on Jesus, the Good Shepherd. In the second reading that Irenaeus read for us, it said there, St. Peter reminds us that this, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross so that free from all sin, we might live for righteousness. And he says the line which we all remember, for by his wounds, we have been healed. You see, Jesus' wounds actually bring healing into our lives, heal us especially from sin. And if that's true, then how could anybody in here think that we have to earn our own salvation by ourselves? That's not what Jesus says. We think, I got to suffer more. That's why things are going wrong. Or I've got to pray more. I got to pray harder. But no, that's not the way it works. It's not about praying harder. It's about praying more. It's about spending more time with the Good Shepherd. It's about listening to his voice more intently throughout our days, letting our God warrior fight the battle for us. And all we have to do is cling to his victory. Hold secure to what he's done for us. Because that's what he says at the end of that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, memorize it, commit it to your souls. Jesus says this. He says, he is the guardian of our souls, guarding us from all that would seek to destroy us. So thereby focusing upon the shepherd and not upon ourselves is the key. We don't need to beat ourselves up because Jesus was beaten for us. It's about really hitching our ride to his wagon and following Jesus to the end, because Christ, he's that good shepherd. What happens? You all know this. You're people who raise livestock and all sorts of great things like that. What happens when a sheep wanders off by itself? It's dead meat. It's going to be eaten. It's going to be attacked. And so it's the same with us. When a sheep is focused upon a shepherd, it's always safe. And Christ is the good shepherd. He's the one who lays down his life to rescue that sheep. That knowledge, brothers and sisters, should be the source of our joy, should be opening up unending life flowing into us and out of us. I can have abundance of life because the creator of the universe, of all things seen and unseen, as we say in our creed, all of that, and yet he cares for me and dies for me. He fights for me. The second thing that we need to focus on is to be a people who recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, to listen to his voice. Now that means what? That I need to spend time in prayer with Jesus so I can know his voice. Personal example, when I get a phone call from my mother, even without caller ID, I know it's her. Not just because she says great things to me or opens up with a scripture passage like she always does or whatever. I know it because I know her voice. I know what her voice sounds like. Because that's the same voice that for 9 months within her womb calmed me down. That's the same voice that used to yell at me to go clean my room or to do whatever task that she wanted me to do to work on my homework. It's the same voice that always affirms to me that she says, I've always loved you, my son. I love you now, and I will love you into eternity no matter what. It's that same voice, and I know that voice. So when I hear it, I know that love, and I know that my mother is present with me instantly. Do you? Do you recognize the voice of those who you love, the voice of those who love you? So if you do, if you love Jesus, if you spend time with Jesus, then you should recognize his voice instantly when he speaks to you. If you pray daily from your heart meaningfully, then you should know what it is when he's talking to you. If you have a good prayer life, then you will know when it is that the Good Shepherd is speaking to you. You'll know when it is that the world is talking to you. You'll know when it is when your own sinful flesh is speaking to you. You'll know when it is that the devil is trying to whisper stuff into your ears. Because you recognize the voice of the shepherd, you know that all the other voices aren't the voice of the shepherd, and you run away from them. You know, even in my life this week I've been having a pretty bad week. I've been having a pretty bad week because a lot of people, even people in our parish, have accused me of things I had nothing to do with, really bad things, going on and fighting me for nothing. And so that tore me down. I felt hurt. I didn't know what was going on. That affected everything. But then on Thursday, I had an opportunity, a rare opportunity, to go and spend even just a few hours with my nephew Riker, a little 4-year-old boy who I love to the end. This little boy, I played with him. We had dinner together, and he said, could you just sit next to me, Uncle Father Christopher? So we sat together. And then he turned to his mom, and he said, could he tuck me in tonight? Could he get me ready for bed? And so she said, oh, yes, and we did. We brushed our teeth together. We got in our jammies together. We did all these things. I tucked him in. We read a few stories from his little kid's Bible that he had there together, all with his head laying upon my chest. And he said some things to me that changed everything. This sweet little 4-year-old boy, Riker, my nephew, he began to say to me, he said, Uncle Father Christopher, I want you to be with me all night long, to stay here. And then I sort of reasoned with him, saying, I got to get back to Vaughan. I got to get back to my parish, so I can't stay here. He said, okay. Well, if you can't stay in my bed all night, you can sleep in the room next door. And then we can have breakfast together. And then a little bit later, he said, Uncle Father Christopher, I wish that you were my priest. I wish that you were so that we could have this Bible time every night together. And this was the kicker, the next thing that he said to me a little bit later. He said, I wish that my dad wasn't my dad and that you were my dad, married to my mom, who, by the way, is my sister, married to my mom, so that we could do this every night. And that hit it. Now he doesn't hate his dad. He loves his dad. He just wanted me to be with him always. And that thing was key. You see, after that, anything that anybody could say about that, anything that anybody, even my parishioners could say bad about me, doesn't mean anything. Because this little boy who I love above everything but Christ himself, who I prayed for all my life, thinks that in some small way, I matter, that I do good for him. And that's sufficient. See, it wasn't just this little Riker, this little boy, this little four-year-old who was speaking to me in that moment. I think that it was because he's so innocent, he was able to listen to the voice of God. He was able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and to speak the words which God had put in his soul at that moment to me, to encourage me, to basically say, don't listen to those voices that were inspired by the devil, who is the thief of peace, the thief of souls. He reminded me that what Jesus said here in the gospel today about all those complainers and accusers, Jesus said this. He said, they came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to take my abundant life from you, to rob my peace from your soul. Jesus said instead, listen to me, to my opinion to you. They've come to destroy you, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, oozing out on everybody you meet. The real problem was that I was focused on myself, upon the voices of bad people speaking evil things, so that I lost sight of the shepherd. I wasn't able to hear his voice. And because of that, I left him. But the good shepherd always goes out in search of the sheep, and he found me in a way that I could actually listen to him. So to be truly Catholic, brothers and sisters, what we need to do is to focus on the good shepherd and to hear his voice. On a real practical level, what I want you to do this week is to focus on your prayer life. Focus on the way in which you pray. Is it other-centered, meaning is it focused on Christ? Or is it focused all on yourself, self-centered? Is it thinking about your own sinfulness? Or is it thinking about how grateful you are at what God did for you to blot out all that sin? When you spend your time with the Lord, what is your prayer actually like? How does it go? Maybe you say, Father, I just recite my prayers. Well, good, great. Recite all those prayers you want. But eventually your mouth is going to shut probably, and that's when the prayer begins to really matter. What happens then? What happens there? Think about when you pray, about the time that you spend with the Good Shepherd. About the how do you deal with your own personal sinfulness. If it's not leading you to abundant life, then what about your prayer needs to change? The answer is this, three simple steps. First, stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on the Good Shepherd. The second thing is remember that he is a warrior who fights for you to redeem you, and have a grateful heart, realizing what he's done for you. And the third step is to listen to his voice in your prayer. And to let all those other demonic voices that are trying to steal from you and destroy you drift away like the wind that constantly passes through our town, out of the way where we'll never see it again. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, because if you do that, you will have more abundant life than you know what to do with. You'll be more alive than anybody else that you know, and you'll be able to show all those other people who are around you what it's like to have a good shepherd, who is a warrior who fights for you. As it says in the scripture there, the guardian of your souls. Brothers and sisters, this is the abundant life of the Good Shepherd, which he has in store for those who put their trust in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.